Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey just got back in town with the Padres, who did not go winless on their seven-game trip. They went 1-6 to avoid history, as it were.
You looked up all that history, Kevin. You had it all ready to go that the Padres had never had, what was it? They had never had a winless road trip of more than six games. Is that what it was?
Yep. Been 0-6 a few times, and there were a few back in the day, you know, when there were 11, 12 game trips where they would lose 8 or 9, 10 in a row. But then, you know, the longer the trip, the greater the odds that you're going to win. And so they'd never had a winless trip. And that stunned me for, as, you know, bad as the history of the club is, but they avoided it. And that's because it's baseball and you play a bunch of games and, you know, they actually won the season series against the Brewers this year.
I know. It's funny. You know, I was double checking yesterday before they won the other day when you first told me about that. And I think there was one trip where they like won the first game and then lost the next 10. I mean, there were trips where they lost 8 in a row and then won the last one. It was weird. And then looking back, there were trips. They used to play like regularly, have 16-game road trips. There was that one year where they had something like 21 straight road games, although it was broken up by the All-Star break. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff you do when the team's not doing anything much worth talking about. But I guess, you know, we do have a couple places to start with this. And, you know, since we're all about the good news, let's talk about the story you wrote today. You went over and talked to Lorenzo Cain yesterday, Craig Counsell, and they were impressed with what could be the top of the Padres rotation next year, Lamet, Garrett Richards, and Chris Paddock. So what did you learn in the opponent's clubhouse?
Right, if the season started tomorrow, which is the opposite of my least favorite saying, if the season ended today,
right.
You know, and thank goodness the season doesn't start tomorrow. Love baseball, need a break. They were legitimately impressed. As a matter of fact, so much so, Lorenzo Cain and Craig Counsell, that, you know, I mean, I stayed around the clubhouse for a long time, and guys like Ryan Braun, legendary with his pregame work. He wasn't around. He has Monty Grindle. I wanted to talk to more of the Brewers hitters to see what they thought, because I know it sounds, Jay, I know, and we, you know, I think you and I are trying to be careful about it. I certainly do. It sounds like the same old stuff. Oh, wait till next year. They've got some promising guys. And I'm not saying that others in the media haven't been guilty of that. You know, you watch bad baseball enough, you try to look for little gems. It was so clear that this was different. 3 days in a row, the Padres threw guys that they have been saying are going to be at the top of their rotation. And to some extent, we've all been like, okay, well, we'll see. And we still need to be, we'll see. But Garrett Richards was a pro, man. You could tell it right away. If you want to dismiss that you weren't watching, and, you know, you need to maybe shut off the Padres games until, I don't know, 2022 or something, because Garrett Richards was for real. If you weren't looking through your, you know, bad colored glasses, Chris Paddock, gosh, what more could he have done? What, not have some bad stretches?
Right.
Because I think it's even better that he rebounded from the bad stretches. This wasn't like a season of him playing over his head. I think what Chris Paddock did was absolutely the best that the Padres could hope for, really. And then Dinelson Lamet. He still has to work on those walks, man. But I'll tell you what, if he were to just coming back from Tommy John surgery, they would have sent him back out there to try and get strikeouts 15, 16, and 17 in the seventh inning. Hard to be more dominant than that. There were two well-hit balls. One of them went out of the park. There were also three walks. These guys aren't perfect, but that was three really solid games. And the way they broke down, Counsell saying that, you know, you got to hit that fastball. And the thing is, on Lamet, you got to hit that fastball, and it's alive. And so it's not, you know, that's easier said than done at 98 at the top of the zone, because he said, you're not hitting the slider.
Right,
you know, unless
right.
He makes a mistake, you're not hitting it. Lorenzo Cain on Paddock, the composure, the fact that, you know, look, I hit him because he, you know, and I interjected, he got stubborn with you. He's like, yeah, he threw me seven straight fastballs and one of them was over the plate, but I hit it out. Thank you very much, Mr. Paddock. And he said, and then I was blown away by how good his changeup was. And the next at bat, obviously, Chris Paddock listened to Austin Hedges and said, hey, how about you mix it up with this guy? Everyone knows that when Chris gets another pitch, that curve, as much as they've tried to play it up, is not major league ready, or at least not ace ready. And then Garrett Richards, And you know what was great? Andy Green sometimes says some stuff and loves his players and all that. And Craig Council said the same thing that Andy said a lot of times. We talked about it around the league for years. Garrett Richards, healthy. His stuff is as good as anyone in the major leagues. So there you go. He's still got to stay healthy. But I really thought that it was a big deal. Are those three enough, Jay, in your opinion, for the Padres to feel good about their rotation next year?
Well, I would say no, because of the, you know, all three of them have had Tommy John surgery, if I'm not mistaken. So
they are the Tommy John crew. Yeah.
Right. So, which doesn't mean that they can't go out and pitch a bunch of innings next year. And, you know, Paddock could throw 180 and the other guys could throw, I don't know, 140 or something. I mean, who knows what the limits will be. I think one difference between saying that, when you talked about how we've heard about all this before, the difference on these three pitchers is that we've seen now what these three guys can do.
Yes.
I mean, Chris Paddock held up through a whole season, had a 3.33 ERA, you know, even with some rough stretches. But, you know, he was really good as any pitcher, let alone as a rookie pitcher. You know, Garrett Richards, when healthy, you know, you've seen what he can do in the American League, and we saw his stuff the other night. Dinelson Lamet now has done it really for, what, a season and a half, if you go back to his rookie year before he got hurt, and now doing it for, I think it's 13 starts this year. So that's the difference, I think, but that's with those three guys. Now, those three guys have to stay healthy. Even if those three guys stay healthy, there's no guarantee that that's going to be enough. I still have tons of questions about, you know, other positions on this roster, and we'll get into that more as the end of the season approaches and everything. But and not that we haven't gotten into it for the last 6 months, but I do think that that's the one thing about these three guys is it's not just hoping. It's hoping they stay healthy, obviously, from the Padres standpoint, but it's not saying, okay, well, we hope these guys come up from the minors and are good. We've seen that these guys are good. Now the question is, can they stay healthy? And can they maintain, you know, their stuff basically that's made them good? I think if you're a Padre fan, those three guys give you reason for hope next year. Now, can you expect to get 90 to 100 starts or 90, 95, 100 starts out of those three guys? Boy, that would be, you know, everything went right for you. I certainly don't think the Padres can count on that. But the closer that that trio can get to, let's just say, 90 starts, to 95 starts even. The closer they can get to that, obviously the better the Padres are going to be next year for having their presence.
Yeah, 80 to 90, how about that? I mean, here's the thing about Garrett Richards and Dinelson Lamet, and of course Lamet's going to be ahead of Garrett Richards, but Garrett Richards is going to be 32 years old. He's done this before, and you know, he's got the innings built up in him, and that is a big thing from my understanding. That's the difference between Lamet and Richards and Paddock, right? They both came back, 7 months quicker, and Dinelson Lamet's thrown over 100 pitches in a game this year because he had already built up, you know, at 27 years old, had basically a full season in the majors. These guys, I would say, if you could get, 26, 27 out of them, maybe more, if there was some, limits on how much they threw in certain games. Here's a difference, and I'll cop to it. Andrew Cashner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was guilty of the hype over him. That was built on potential. A little bit, you know, look at that stuff. Look at that 100 miles an hour. Look at what he can do. But had he done it, you know, this is different because of what you said, Jay. They've shown it. But with all the caveats that we've thrown in, and look, the Padres know they need to get another guy to feel really good about their rotation, and not like a number three or a number four, but a guy who's right there pushing these three guys to be the top of the rotation.
Right. Although I will say that, I mean, looking at Cashner's numbers here, I mean, if you look at 2013, I mean, he had a 3.09 ERA, and in 2014 with 19 starts, I think he was hurt that year partly, but he had a 2.55 ERA. So it wasn't like he didn't, you know, that he wasn't good and hadn't put up some numbers, you know, during that time. It wasn't just hoping.
I think I might have got excited about him before that. I don't know. But I might have thought that he was.
Well, it was still a bad trade, but that's a whole nother issue, and I'm sure we'll have opportunities to judge more trades.
Can I throw in something about this? I've seen a few things where with every home run, just to get off the pitching thing and just go completely another direction. Mm-hmm. I think that with every home run that Fran Mil Reyes hit, conjecture, even by some in the media that, trade's looking worse and worse. You need to put the talk of how this trade went on hold.
Oh, absolutely.
It's ridiculous to even be looking at it and go, oh, this looks worse. A, this was always about the future, so right there you shouldn't be looking at it now. And I said at the start, if Fran Mil Reyes hits 50 home runs, that doesn't mean the Padres lost the trade. Got to see what Taylor Trammell can do. And B, so Fran Mil was going to make the difference between in this team making the playoffs this year? No, that wasn't going to happen. He's not playing right field anymore, for one, and him on his own was not going to make the difference. I mean, to be thinking about that trade right now it's fruitless. You're only going to get angrier and angrier.
Right, and I mean, his numbers were still much better with the Padres than they have been with the Indians, and I know he got off to a slow start, but I just don't know that Fran Mil Reyes was a long-term answer, as we said all along, a long-term answer for a National League team, unless you could be promised that you were going to get the DH. I just can't see him being a full-time outfielder in the National League.
If he continues to go, if he goes and he excels and is a star in Cleveland and all that, the way to judge the trade will be, Taylor Trammell. It was that you really did. You needed to move Fran Mil Reyes. I'm sorry. I don't care how popular he was and how great a guy he was and how many home runs he was going to hit. He couldn't keep playing right field for you. But you needed to get a really good player. And so that's why you have to wait. I'm not in any way defending the trade. I'm saying, let's wait.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? Look, Trammell has shown signs, and he got off to a poor start with his new organization, and then he came on, and at the end of the year, and especially in the postseason, he was great. And I mean, if you saw video of his home run trot or whatever, you can't even call it a home run trot. It was like a home run dance almost after that grand slam in the Texas League Championship game. He looks like the kind of guy who could be a pretty fun guy as well. The trade isn't going to be judged on fun. It's going to be judged on how good of a player does Trammell become in the next 3 to 5 years, not what he does in half a season or 2 months or whatever it was in the minors. So anyway, that was the good on the road trip. I can't even think of anything else there was. I mean, Josh Naylor, I think, had a few hits, and Luis Urias had a couple hits, and Seth Mejías-Breen hit a home run that gave him their, along with Lamet's pitching, gave him the one win. But obviously the other issue with this team right now is they're not playing well, and especially offensively, they're basically a disaster. Machado's been terrible. Hosmer hasn't done a whole lot lately. Hunter Renfro, just back into the lineup, did hit a long home run the other day, which was funny because it happened after a pitch where he should have walked. And the ump blew the call and kept him in the batter's box, and it was like, all right, so I'll hit the next pitch for a home run. But their offense is just brutal right now, and they're not winning games, and which, we've been told doesn't really matter, but I have a feeling it is going to matter. And they just look kind of listless, I think was a word you used in your story today. What are you seeing? You were around the team for the last week and actually, obviously for all of this time, but what are you seeing recently and what does this mean for the future of some players and obviously especially a certain manager?
Yeah, I want to point out the gravity of a word like listless. When someone like me who's been covering, professional sports for a long time uses it, and I try to be responsible about words like that, because any team that's losing, and Jay, you've been around it, any team that's losing looks listless, right? From the stands, from the press box, right?
I mean, yeah.
Pick the sport, football, baseball, especially baseball, the pace and all that.
It can, but I will say, I agree. I know where you're going, and I think that you can say there were times in the past with both Andy Green as the manager, Bud Black. I mean, go back to Bochy, but especially I'm more familiar with the Black and Green teams. There were times in September where they still looked, they did not look listless. They were competing, and that was the same. I think you could say that about the teams that Andy Green's had in his first 3 years here, but this looks different, at least right now.
So what I'm going to say is going to be, I guess, both could be an indictment of Andy Green and this team, and also like a defense of like what does the manager have to do with it. Mm-hmm. Was the fact that Andy Green's team, whatever, had a 16-13 record over the last 29 games of 2018. Wow, good job, Andy. Way to keep your team in there. Or that Hunter Renfroe and Manuel Margot and Franmil Reyes and several other players were fighting for jobs.
Right,
that
right.
Maybe have a little something to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Lauer pitched his, Eric Lauer, who has always been looking over his shoulder, had a fantastic September. So anyway, or did Andy really motivate these young fellas? Well, I think you can get by my tone what I think. Now this year, and I buy into this 1,000%. I'm not excusing it at all, but I buy into the fact that you had a slightly more veteran team, especially the leaders, the Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, who know that 65 wins, 70 wins, 82 wins don't mean a thing. Now, again, I'm not defending it. I don't think there's any question but to say that, Manny is checked out. And, he's not going to acknowledge that. I think he came as close as he would when I spoke to him for a story that I did on the veterans, just being like, we're trying. And believe me, there's no way they're not. Kirby Yates got a save the other night. He's one of the guys who said it was difficult. Craig Stammen, who, by the way, is, pitching to show the Padres and the league, he can still pitch, but he has been good lately. Eric Hosmer, home run the other day, these guys are trying to win, but it's different to have to go through the slog of September when a month ago you actually thought, a month and a half, I guess time's flying, a month and a half ago you thought you were going to be a contender, and that's all that matters anymore. Not like you can feel the disdain in Eric Hosmer's voice when he talks about next year it's going to be guys who earned it. What he's saying is guys haven't earned it this year. They're testing guys out. I know for a fact that they've made some lineup modifications. Like, why is Greg Garcia playing? Besides that, he's a really good utility guy who's earned his way on the field on this team. They don't need to know about Greg Garcia. They're playing Greg Garcia so that because they owe Greg Garcia that. They owe Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer putting another veteran on the field so that they don't look so awful out there. It's a bad time to be a Padre. It just is.
Right. No, but the question is, in the executive offices, all of what you said, is that going to be enough, or are they looking at this and saying, well, maybe, maybe Andy Green's not doing what he should be doing, and he should be motivating player A and player B? Or do you think, and I tend to go along, I tend to believe this, that they've already made up their mind on what they're going to do, and that these last couple of weeks really don't mean a whole lot, that whether they go 2-12 or 12-2, that it's not that big of a deal. There's going to be other things will help them make their decision, or have already helped them make their decision.
Well, in a strict journalistic sense, Jay, I will say that I don't know. That's in a strict journalistic sense, because, the funny thing about when you're doing these sorts of things, right, like a podcast, is you haven't gathered all your information.
Sure.
I'm in the process of doing that. And I would lean right
That's
now.
That's a fair answer, though, to say I don't know is something that...
Yeah,
that
but I would lean toward what you're saying.
Right.
And that it can't be, it cannot, it is not a good reflection on Andy. Do I think that it will mean that he will be fired? I don't know. It's not good, and there are issues there are issues that the Padres are concerned about in terms of what is the progress that has been made with this team.
Right. And I will say that we are expecting a column later today that I believe maybe even by the time this podcast people are listening to this might already be on the website from Bryce Miller, our colleague and columnist here, that will sort of lay out the case for and against Andy Green, and that will be in the Sunday paper as well. And I think hopefully it will be a comprehensive look at the reasons. If you want to see Andy Green come back, here are the reasons you can use as your use your reasons as your reasons. And if you don't want to see him come back, here are reasons for that. So I think, you know, most of the people out there have already made up their minds. Those people don't matter in the sense of whether he comes back or not. The people that matter are people like Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler and A.J. Preller, and we'll find out soon enough what, you know, what they think.
I think we need to look at the coaching staff, too. When I say we, you know, obviously, again, the people that matter, but you know, there's only so much the manager, right? I mean, we very well could be looking at, a 10th hitting coach in the Petco era, and now,
yeah, I mean,
maybe not. There have been improvements, but holy smokes, there have also been some regressions.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I've talked for years about, it can't be the hitting coach because they've gone through so many of them that they can't all be terrible hitting coaches. So it comes down to they don't have enough good hitters on this roster.
And how about this? And this is something that has been addressed. And unfortunately, it's, you know, we don't have someone down at every affiliate covering them on a daily basis and talking to people. But, you know, you hear things about the past development staff and you see it coming up. Players on other teams, when they get there, now obviously we don't cover the other teams as closely as this one, but they're coming up through the minors learning how to hit a certain way. And these Padres players aren't. And also this, Jay, they've been developing guys at the major league levels. Manny Margot and Austin Hedges and Hunter Renfro have spent their AAA years in the majors.
Right.
And so now they have revamped their development squad, and that's why I say it'll be a few years before we can say, oh, when Luis Camposano comes up and these types of players, what are they doing? I mean, obviously, Fernando Tatis is extremely gifted,
but
he's also shown a certain way that we're going to attack at bats. So, you know, it's not like by the time you get to the majors, you know, there's some things that should already be. This is already being ingrained in you. And these guys, some of them are learning here in the majors. That's a problem.
And that's what I've always said is that guys, you know, it's the minor. By the time you get to the majors, you should know how to play baseball. I mean, so the idea that all this coaching and development and everything, you know, changes that much at the major league level is just not something that I've believed in the past. I mean, and I'll go back to, you know, look, Bruce Bochy won his 2000th game this week. It was a big deal. He's had a fantastic career. Nobody made a big deal the next night when he lost his 2023rd game. So if Bruce Bochy knew everything about what it was to develop players and get players, you know, to play above their level and all that kind of stuff, you know, he would have a winning record in the regular season. So, and again, takes nothing away from Bochy. It's just, it always comes down to players, and the Padres have not developed players. I mean, look at when the Dodger guys come up. It seems like I'll say this, a guy like Will Smith came up and was on fire his first few weeks or whatever, and then he went into a terrible tailspin. Is that because Dave Roberts and his staff did a terrible job? I kind of doubt it. So I just think there's so much more that goes into it in terms of development. I mean, the Padres, you know, Tatis basically went through their system and came up and was great. Paddock, you know, was developed after the beginning of his career and came up and was great. They've had some relief pitchers who have come up, you know, Munoz, Bednar. I mean, these guys have looked really good when they've come up. But the idea of, well, let's see what happens. They've made some changes. Let's see what happens when Luis Camposano and these guys come up. People, that's something that fans are tired of hearing, and I don't blame them. I mean, we've been hearing that for so long. But it's a whole organization issue at this point. And whoever the manager is next year, and whether it's Andy Green or it's Rod Barajas or it's Moises Alou or it's Mike Socha or Joe Girardi or all these other people that are mentioned, the Padres will be better next year. And that's if Andy Green stays or goes, the Padres will have a better record next year. I feel safe in predicting that. So that's
for a lot of reasons that we've been over, including that starting rotation.
Yeah, they'll have better players. That's my my prediction.
And so you're right, and that's why I said the problem with some of this judgment is that it's going to take a few years. So wait a minute, let's talk about now, because that's what the Padres say is important. Well, we wrap it up here, and we'll talk about it as maybe the podcast after the season. It's time to start making trades and to give up some of their pieces to get real players. All right. I think with that currency, the Padres don't necessarily have to go out on the free agent market. You fill some of your holes with the excess players that you have. Now, easier said than done, sure, but so is easier said than done signing free agents. So it's time to actually get some players. And we, if I mentioned where, we'd be talking for another half hour, but right. We all know where the holes are. But I will tell you that being and they didn't want to do it this year because of all the development, but being in Milwaukee drove it home. What did the Brewers do? They signed a third baseman and a veteran third baseman and put him at second base because that made their team better. Mike Moustakas. Like, that's what the Padres need to do next year. Like, acknowledge you've got holes. It's no longer development. And if you don't think Luis Urias, and believe me, there have been questions in this organization for a long time, then go out and get a veteran second baseman. And that's what you've got to do. It's there are way too many holes. And so for the now, it's like, all right, this development thing, that's great. But let's keep doing that down in the minors. It's time to get some players at the major league level.
Right. And the one thing I'll say about the trades is, in terms of using these chips that they have, that's assuming that other teams value these chips as much as
easier said than done.
Right. The Padres mm-hmm. do. But anyway, for good reason, we didn't talk about the series coming up this weekend. Arizona will be here. They are 78-75, which means they have little to no chance of making the playoffs. Merrill Kelly and Eric Lauer on Friday. Zach Gallen and Cal Quantrill. It'll be interesting to see that. Quantrill, if he can get out of this slump, on Saturday. And then a couple of veterans, Robbie Ray and Garrett Richards, will pitch on Sunday afternoon. Then there will be a day off. And you and I will talk again to everyone out there on Tuesday, before the final series at home this year against the Dodgers.
Thanks, everybody.